And I came back and I couldn't print my sermon off the printer. So this is a first for me. I'm going to be trying to read my sermon off of my computer. So please bear with me. There we go. There it is. Who knows? I might be starting a new thing here. Well, I may. This is pretty good. But I want you to know that I just came back from a beautiful trip in Pennsylvania. I got to see my wife and my son, Gabe. Actually, we went out trampolining. We got to this, I don't know if you've been Sky Rim before. You just get out there and have all these trampolines. And then we're out there playing, I love it, dodgeball. We had so much fun, and it's a blessing to be with him. And I got a chance to be with my father-in-law. I think you know that recently his wife passed away, my mother-in-law, a couple months ago. And he's taken it very well. Well, as well as you can. They moved him to another place, a smaller place. And I got the chance to be with him and walk with him and talk with him. And he is just an amazing man. And I keep praying for him because I know that he talks about mom a lot. It's hard. But he feels like God has given him a new direction, a new purpose in his life. And I'm so excited about that. Very excited. Well, we've been looking at this sermon series, and today is Reformation Sunday. That's another thing that I love to celebrate, and Reformation Sunday is actually tied into us and our legacy, our heritage as Christians. And an important day, important holiday for us is to remember our roots and remember what it took back, you know, 500-600 years ago when people literally stepped out and say, we're going to go ahead and stand up to this big bully, and I'll be very fair to say they were a big bully, and really focus on God's word, and literally has changed the course of humanity with regard to trusting God's word, sola scriptures, God's word alone, Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone. That all came from Reformation. It came from those men and women who went struggling with the Catholic Church and then moved on to God's new plan for them. And so today is All Nations. And as you heard, that prayer of confession is actually Martin Luther's prayer of confession that we had read earlier. I think we read it last week. We prayed it last week, and we prayed it this week. And it's a beautiful, beautiful prayer of confession. It reminds us, I love that word, trouble us, God. Trouble us to know that we are to go out and baptize all nations. And today's sermon is called All Nations. And I grew up and I really kind of had very loose connections with, you know, many nations. You know, as you grow up, you don't really have much understanding about all the different cultures in the world. And I grew up in Germany, so Germany was not a nation for me. It was my place, plus the USA. And the only other nation that I know of was Canada, and I never consider them a nation. Okay. I'm just kidding. I always feel like they're kind of kissing cousins, you know? They're right next to each other, and we share a lot of value. But I really didn't get a chance to really, truly experience what it means to go out into a new nation, to really experience some culture that was vastly different than the USA and Canada. And when I was in Bible college, I had a chance to go down to Mexico for my very, very first time. And I remember crossing that border. It was like going into a whole different world. And when I got there, I got to see how the people lived in Mexico. We went to a small village called Santa Vince, and it was just a beautiful, eye-opening experience. And I think a lot of ugly Americans look, or we have an ugly American attitude, as we go there and we sit back and we go, wow, I have it so much better here in the USA. You know, I got all this, I got good, better food, I got air conditioning, I got all these great, wonderful things. And God, I almost felt like God slapped my face and said, you're missing the whole point. The point is, look at these people. Look at the Christian churches. Look at your brothers and sisters in Christ that are right there, and as you get to know them. Having a common denominator as Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior immediately ties me into this culture. And I got to sit back and I said, there is a joy there within that Christian community that is truly, truly amazing. They don't care about material things. They care about family and relationships, they do so well with the things, and you never, hardly ever hear them complain. They're so grateful. So that was my first time there in Mexico. Then God opened my eyes and my experience even greater. I had a chance to go back to Baja, and I was a part of a team that I went down there with my high schoolers, and they have this what we call as a translation team, and we went down to Baja, and Baja is kind of unique. It actually is one of the major tomato industries for the USA. Most of our tomatoes come from Baja. I mean, it's just amazing what they do. And what they do is they bus people all the way from Mexico to go into Baja. And they bus people that are from these indigenous native groups throughout Mexico. And I'm starting getting a little lesson about this. And so what we did is we would go to these farms after a hard day's work. And what we do is they're Quonset huts, basically. And they have dirt floors. And I would be what they call is the tape person. And they would, remember that old cassette tape? It's about, you put a cassette in it and you can cue it. Well, I was given three different types of tapes that had over 200 different languages or dialects or languages on it. And we would go to a Quonset hut and we would talk to the person, and the person who speaks Spanish would say, "Is Spanish your first language? And your only language?" And they said, "No, it's our second language." Then we would say, you know, that, okay, where in Mexico do you live? And we kind of let them know and show a map. And then we show them a map, and right there, we have this amazing way to pinpoint their community. And then they would tell me Oxy 22. And I would cue it, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and I get to 22. And then I would play the tape, and it's only maybe about 15 seconds long. And it is a language I've never heard in my life. I mean, I've been around people speaking in tongues before. It sounded like they were speaking in tongues. They sound like they were babbling. I had no idea what they were saying. So when I hit that and play it, if they don't recognize the language, they would sit there and go, mm-mm, just sit. But I go to the next one, and when I hit that, they would sit there, and you could immediately see the women start to giggle, most of them, and the men have this big smile. I have connected them with a language, and I would ask them, or they would ask them, "Can we give you a cassette tape in your language that is presenting the story of Jesus Christ or the gospel?" And they said, yes. So we would run a runner, and they would go ahead and cue that tape. They would tape that tape and bring back. And the neat thing about these very, very poor people that only get $7 a day at the time just to go on the farm was that every one of them had a boombox. That was their luxury. And they loved their music, and they would stick that cassette in, and we would go throughout that community, and we would notice there are so many different representations of different native indigenous groups. And as we are done with like maybe an hour and a half, we walk back and we could hear the cassette tapes being played in their Quonset huts. That's why I'm talking about lifting your spirit, talking about how God's work has just penetrated that place. And you know what's so neat about that? They go back to their place in Mexico, then would take, and they take that tape and they would pass it around. What a great ministry. And so today we're focusing on all nations, but I want you to know that all nations here has even a deeper meaning when Jesus Christ shared with us that we need to go out to all nations. So let's go ahead and let's go back to the passage. And I just want to kind of recap it. As you know, the disciples witnessed the resurrection, the resurrected Christ, which, again, is a very mind-blowing experience. To see Christ, who was literally beaten up, put on a cross, stabbed, dead, everything, and is now alive, and now the disciples are going through all kinds of feelings and understandings, and they come and said, "I want you to meet on some type of hillside around Galilee." And if you've ever been there, there's all kinds of beautiful hillsides. He gets there, and he meets with them, and some were worshiping him because, oh my goodness, why wouldn't you? But others are still struggling with this whole situation. I mean, they're still trying to grasp just the enormity of how huge this all is. And we talked about it. We talked about that doubt is not a bad thing for a Christian. In fact, it's sort of a good thing. It's allowing us to be able to really look at a situation honestly, and then we honestly look for answers, but we know that we'll never get all the answers, and faith is about not having all the answers. Faith is about having everything that you know, and then taking that step, knowing that there's certain answers that are certain questions that are unanswered. So we will have doubts, but God says we continue because we need faith. And then what happened? He just said to all of them, he made it very clear, these are his words. He says it not only to them, but he's letting us know this morning the words of Jesus Christ. And he says, I want you to know that I have all authority because of my resurrection. I have all authority in the verse, in the universe. I have that authority, and I want you to know that I am telling you right now, right now, I'm commissioning you. I'm making you a part of my great plan. You're part of God's great kingdom, and you're part of the plan. I'm going to give you purpose. I'm going to give you something to sink your teeth in, and basically says, therefore, go out and all make disciples in all nations, baptizing them. Again, that is a sign of entrance. It's a sign of them accepting this new creative life in themselves. They have been forgiven. They have rose from the dead through the symbol of water, and now they're a part of this new kingdom, and they are now a part of God's church. Then teaching them all that I've commanded you. Very important. Again, the word commanded is very absolute. It's nothing there to suggest that we negotiate with God when it comes to that. And behold, this is his promise. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Christ said it very clearly. I promised you just before I died that you're going to meet, and I'm going to give you the counselor. My Father and I are going to give the counselor. The counselor is going to be with you all your life, and he will continue the teachings of Jesus Christ in your life, and he'll be with you. So we're looking at all nations, and this is a unique word in Greek, a very unique word in Greek. There's a deep meaning to it, and actually it's ethnos, where we get ethnic. And what it means a race, a tribe, especially a foreign race, not a Jewish. So God is saying to his Jewish believers, I don't want you just to focus on Jewish believers. I want you to focus on all nations. And he was actually pointing to the pagan nations that are around them, okay? Gentile, heathen. So God is telling us that the nations that are not Jewish, that don't have anything very much connected to you, I want you to go out there and reach out to everybody in the world, all nations. And what was so beautiful is that nations come to us. Culture groups come to us. And culture groups come in so many different ways. And God is calling us to go out and make disciples of them. It's a very short sermon this morning. So the theme this morning is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go, therefore, and make disciples. We heard just the other week, unless you're a disciple, you're not going to make any disciples. You have no passion. You have no motivation. You have no desire. A lot of times what happens, we have a lot of Christians that are good at just sitting down and becoming fans. We have Christians that believe that their goodness, their morality, is going to get them into heaven. Many times I've asked Christians, many times, just want you to know that, are you planning to go to heaven? Do you think you're going to make it to heaven? This is my little question. So, well, I hope so, if I'm good enough. You know, and this is my cue to say, well, you don't have to be good enough. It's all about God's grace. But I'm surprised how many times Christians will answer it with, if I'm good enough, if I'm good enough. And that's not what grace is. That's not what being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is having this confidence that my goodness is awful. I can't make it with my goodness, but with God's grace, I'm in his kingdom. He's transformed me in a part of the new life that he's given me. So you cannot make disciples if you're not a disciple. And we talked about it. Some of us here, you know, even questioning if they are of anything but a Christian, as well as wanting to be a Christian or wanting to be disciples. And also told us, you know, God told us last week, a half-committed Christian is the most frustrated Christian that I know of. You got one foot in the water, you got one foot out here. You want all the blessings of being baptized with all the water, with all the great things that come with it. At the same time, we're hanging on to the ground that gives us a sort of sense of false direction. And so the key of God says, I want you to just pour yourself, commit yourself to being a disciple. And when you are able to do that, when you are in that process of learning, and disciples is not just so much learning, disciples is being, being in the presence of God, being in the life that God has given us. And then he says, then you can make disciples. Because you have nothing to pass on if you're not a disciple. So we have that in all nations, all nations. Today is Reformation Sunday. And Reformation, as you heard earlier, is basically responding to a bully. And, you know, a bully that basically has told everyone that I'm the only one, we're the only one can tell you what you should believe. And guess what? You don't have grace. It is good works. You have to give to us. You have to go to Mass. You have to do all these things. You know, and as we know, the story of Martin Luther, he struggled with that because he read Romans. He saw, he actually lived out this amazing struggle of trying to live good, trying to follow that, but at the same time, in contrast, he's hearing the Word of God saying, no, it's not about goodness. It's about my grace, my grace, my grace, which developed this amazing new era in the world. Sometimes we forget how crazy big this is. The Catholic Church had a stronghold on Europe, on all those places, you know. And God says, I'm going to mix it up. And just this amazing, obedient man, Martin Luther, went ahead and was frustrated. He was angry at the one monk that came in and pushed indulgences, and he says, I'm just going to write my 95 theses. This is what's wrong with the Catholic Church. And he is, again, he's a priest. And he wrote it all out. He just nailed it on the door. That's all. He was just telling the community, I'm frustrated. I'm fed up. And I'm tired of trying to represent the Catholic Church because they are not representing God's Word. They're not representing grace. Had no idea how God was going to take that. It was on the door. And suddenly, I mean, this is crazy. It was like a wildfire. It's like someone just threw a match into this burning bush that was ready to explode. And people got up there and started reading it. And they were so overwhelmingly convicted by the Holy Spirit that these were God's words. But in fact, it resonated in them because something was missing in their lives with regard to the Catholic Church. It was not giving them the grace that they so truly wanted. And they read that. And before you know it, guess what they're doing? They're writing it down. They didn't have text messages. They didn't have TikTok, whatever we have. They sat there and wrote it down. And they passed it on, and God passed it on, and God passed it on, and God passed it on. They made copies of it, and before or not from Germany, it just spread throughout Europe. Spread into England, spread into Switzerland, spread into France. I mean, this was like a crazy YouTube that someone posted, and suddenly you have 500 million hits on it. Because it just was so awakening, so much greatly received by those people. Again, I know it's hard to think about how awesome that is. That is crazy awesome. And that's why Martin Luther was so good to say this in his prayer. And I want to go ahead and end with this. Is that God has called all of us here to go out into the world. There's so many different culture groups out there. And, you know, I shared this before. Those culture groups are not going to look like us. They're not going to act like us. Jesus made it clear, go into the pagan, heathen society that has so little to do with who you are as Jewish people. You know, they're so different. And so that's what we're doing right now. We have a vision team that God has put together, and we've been praying. We've been praying, and we have five of us, Joanna, Brenna, Barbara Page, and also Brian Sunderland, and we get together, and we just pray, God, show us all the cultures in this group, in this area. Show us the culture. Show us the different types of nations in this area, all around us. And we start praying for them. And you're talking about there is a nation, what I call as a culture, at the university. Okay, that's a culture group. Okay? There are so many cultures, and we're praying for them, and we're really believing that God is leading us to those one of those people group. And the beautiful thing is that we're not going to do this alone. We will not do this alone. We're going to ask you to be a part of the prayer for us. to help us discern God's will and to be a part of the prayer. God, set us up, prepare our hearts, because you are bringing in this culture that is so different than us. And we don't know. We have no idea what that culture is going to look like. And as we pray for it, as we engage in this time of prayer, God is going to bring something amazing into that church. You know, what this church, from my perspective, and I've been here 9 months, I think this church is a soft sell for me personally. And I just want to, this is a great, great, great compliment. And what I mean by that is that when I tell my pastor friends about this church, there's not one bad thing I can talk about. I tell them about the people. I tell them about the leaders. I tell them about the staff person. I tell them about how amazing the elders are. I tell them how amazing the Sunday school and the youth program and how the music is. And I'm sitting there going, I said, this is a soft sell. There's other churches I would never step in, but this is a church that is growing. This is a church that wants to be healthy. This is a church that's truly looking for a person, either male or female, to come and lead them. This is a great place to go to. Because you guys are wonderful. I've been so blessed by all of you. And I know that God is going to put extra wind into your sails. See, I see this as a ship. You don't mind me sharing this. As a ship. And God has some wind in your sails. God has pulled back some of the wind and kind of stalemated it a little bit. You know, a struggle there. But God is pushing this church, given some wind, and the wind is moving. Staff and the teachings, the classes, every kind of thing. But I also believe that God is going to bring another fresh wind, another type of wind that comes to the sail, and it's going to take you even more amazingly into His kingdom. And my goal is to see how God is going to take this people group that He's going to connect you and provide you with another great sense of reaching out and making disciples of all nations. So, waken our hearts, O Lord, our God. Make them ever watchful to serve you and your purposes. Martin Luther, trouble us with the smallness of our vision and work. Trouble us. Please trouble us. Your vision, your work is so much grander than my little vision of the kingdom of God. Trouble us with the greatness of your command to make disciples of all nations. The greatness of your command. It is a command. Trouble us to make disciples of all nations. Trouble us with your great love for sinners and our slowness to make you our greatest love. God is helping us to have greater love for all those people out there that are broken, that are sinners, just like us. Trouble us with the brevity of our lives and time, talent, and treasure not invested in eternity. I think all of us know that we have no lock on our future. We have no idea what the time frame is when it comes to God taking us out of this world. So God, trouble us. Trouble us to know that this time is so precious. Comfort us by drawing us to yourself with the cords of your unfailing mercy. We have mercy every day. We screw up, we sin every day, but His mercies are new. Comfort us, O Lord, with the assurance of our salvation in unending glory with you when we suffered and are afflicted. And we all have suffered. And some of us are suffering right now. Some of us are afflicted, as we know, hearing the stories of people struggling with COVID. In the midst of all that, God wants to comfort us. He wants us to know that His glory is being revealed and continues to be revealed in our lives. Rekindle us in a renewed desire for the coming of your glorious kingdom, when all wrongs will be made right, when everything that is broken will be made whole, and when we trade a cross for a crown. These are the prayers of Martin Luther back 500, 600 years ago, back at the time where he put those theses on a door, just frustrated, not knowing how God was going to take this and do amazing things for the kingdom of God. And I believe God's doing that with First Presbyterian Church. As we pray, as we search, as we listen, as we obey, God's going to do great things for First. Continue. Matter of fact, He has and will continue. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Martin Luther. Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. The struggling, just this person of great integrity, struggling with your word, struggling with the trouble that you put in his heart with regard to Catholic Church. Help us, God, to be troubled, in a way that leads us to your kingdom. And we thank you so much. In your son's name, amen. Let's continue with the closing hymn.